At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly, a production of iHeartRadio.
Time now for Fantasy Football Weekly from iHeartRadio, your weekly source for the nation's best fantasy football advice, speculation, and whatever stupid stuff they decide to drop into the show. Now here's your host, Paul Charchian.
It's a combine edition, kind of Fantasy Football Weekly. I'm Paul Charchi and my host, Brian Johnson. Hello.
What's up, Charch? I wish I was at the combine with you. How was it?
I was there midweek. It was great. It was very busy. It was just like the old combines and in many ways even busier than the previous ones. And I thought maybe COVID and everything. And I knew a bunch of people who weren't going. A lot of my industry friends weren't there. So I was really worried there wouldn't be a lot of people there. But everybody was there. It was great.
Overall, from just speaking about, you know, fantasy relevant rookies, how excited are you for this class? Because I feel like 6 months ago,
it's not a great class, honestly. Really?
I'm a little more excited than I was a few months ago.
There are some good receivers, and we're going to break these down really into April. We've already got it all planned out. We're going to be breaking down all the positions. Some really good receivers, I think. Tight ends pretty bad. Quarterbacks pretty bad. Running backs okay. And we'll have plenty of guys that we can talk about, about those positions when the time comes. But yeah, I got some good dirt and, you know, some insight into a few things. And it's always fun. But the focus of this show, like the focus of last show, is we go back through one of the divisions and we highlight key elements for every player in that division. And this week, NFC East. Now, the goal here is not to recap a season you already know, because you already know about that, but hopefully to shed some insight that maybe, you know, when you're deep in the weeds playing it every week, there's some stuff that you just maybe don't realize is happening. And now you have a chance to reflect on a full season with all these players and speculate a little bit into what's going on next season.
Let's do it.
We're doing the NFC East this week.
The NFC Least.
Yeah, it really is. There's some bummer teams in here.
Oh, but that's reality football. There's plenty of good fantasy stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Let's start with the Philadelphia Eagles.
All right. Starting with the Eagles. We'll start with their quarterback. As of right now, Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
Rumors always seem to be swirling like he's going to get traded or they don't trust him as their starter. But
they shouldn't trust him yet. He has not earned trust yet.
I don't know. I'm not 100% with you there. One player has amassed 4,000 passing yards and 1,000 rushing yards through their first 20 career starts. Want to guess who that is?
Well, apparently it's Jalen Hurts.
It's Jalen Hurts. And guess what? Yeah. He's only started 19 games, too, not 20.
Okay.
So finished as QB10 last year with basically just one wide receiver. He was a rookie, Devonta Smith. We'll talk about him in a second. He also had the fifth most rushing touchdowns with 10. And that's among running backs.
It's all players.
Philly surely will pad the receiver position through free agency, the draft, or both. So I'm buying Jalen Hurts. I think he can get better. I don't think he's peaked. I don't know. I know you're
as a lukewarm passer, on him. Yeah, my worry is as a passer, I don't know how much better he can get, and hopefully he can. But if he doesn't, man, I'm nervous about his long-term prospects of just even retaining the job if his passing doesn't get better.
True, but I mean, in fantasy football, though, that rushing floor.
Oh, I know.
It was so safe, huge. And it gives him such a high ceiling. Mm-hmm. So I'm still in on Jalen Hurts. He's not a guy who I'll be fading. Speaking of that one wide receiver we mentioned, Devontae Smith, led all rookie wide receivers in air yards per reception last year, over 23. His ADOT, average depth of target, was a massive 15.2 yards, nearly 1.5 yards more than Ja'Marr Chase. So big play potential certainly there for Smith. On the downside, last year,
he didn't give you the big play.
Yeah, he had some very bad weeks, which makes him more appealing in best ball formats. But I think we do see some more consistency this season, especially if Philly or when Philly brings in fresh blood at wide receiver. I don't think that's going to hurt Devonta Smith. I think it's only going to help him more. And of course, it all depends on the arm of Jalen Hurts. But again, I, for one, think he can improve as a passer. So Devonta Smith, another guy I'm going to be targeting in drafts this year, but not as much as I'll be targeting tight end Dallas Goedert, who didn't post eye-popping numbers last year. But
he had Zach Ertz for 6-7 weeks in there as well.
And he was hurt a little bit, missed a couple games. But the underlying metrics, very impressive for Goedert. Averaged 2.2 yards per target in PPR leagues. He was second in yards per reception at 15. First in yards per route run. He led all tight ends in completed air yards per target. The only problem was he only saw 76 targets. That's why the numbers weren't there. But again, there was the Ertz effect.
What if this team gets better at wide receiver in the offseason, which I think there's a good chance they do?
I think that can really only help Goedert, maybe, too. Because, I mean, he was probably the primary focus for opposing defenses. Either him or Devonta Smith. So, when Zach Ertz got traded, that cleared up targets for Goedert, but it kind of was a shock to that offensive system, I would think, because they were really like a two tight end offense, and all of a sudden they were a one tight end offense.
Yeah.
So now they got all offseason to kind of build their offense around Goedert, hopefully, who, again, only had 76 targets. When you're talking about guys like Mark Andrews and Travis Kelce, they saw twice that, if not more.
Yeah.
And all those metrics I just mentioned, he was well ahead of Travis Kelce and Mark Andrews and all those.
Which is crazy,
At tight end 7 right now, I'm where he's roughly getting drafted right now, I'm big on Goedert, who has a top 3 tight end potential this year if he sees the volume. So I'm liking Goedert, but not liking the running game too much in Philly.
I know.
Miles Sanders, Kenneth Gainwell. We'll talk about these two really quick. Disaster season for Sanders last year. Less than 1,000 combo yards. 0 touchdowns. But he only played 12 games.
Yeah.
He was dinged up. Jordan Howard and Boston Scott vultured lots of opportunities.
They did.
Especially near the goal line.
That was frustrating, too. Yeah.
I don't know. Miles Sanders, he's fallen in these very early drafts, like the 9th, 10th round range. So he's kind of a nice buy low candidate.
There's some value there.
Yeah, in both redraft and dynasty formats. But don't sleep on Kenneth Gainwell, who certainly flashed at times last year.
Not enough, Brian.
He did score 5 rushing touchdowns on just 68 attempts, average 4.3 yards per carry. He's kind of the go-to receiving back as well in that offense. So
Runners have an opportunity to get better in year 2. And we've seen it a lot where, there are rookies who come out at running back and they don't do much. In year 2, it's usually, that's where you see, for most backs, that's sort of your last chance to really show in the NFL, although there are exceptions.
And it's a nice offensive line in Philly. They got a good O-line. So, that's the Eagles. Okay. And if people are asking, what about Jalen Reagor? Don't ask about Jalen Reagor. He's dead to us.
He is dead. Although it'll be his third year, right? And sometimes receivers come to life in the third year, but usually not when they're as dead as he's dead. The Washington Commanders. First time I've talked about the Commanders.
Yeah, the Commanders.
Yeah, it still feels weird, and it's such a bad name. Man, so uninspired. Look at what the Seattle Kraken did by going an offbeat unique name. People are like, you can't, they're selling the most merchandise in the NHL because they have a cool logo and name.
Well, I gotta go on a real quick mini rant. Not the Commanders logo, but like their crest that will be on. They put, for the Super Bowls they won, they put the year where the game was,
it was played, which not is always the season. Yeah, right.
Which is not how anybody acknowledges their Super Bowl wins, and the fans are upset. I mean, it was such a massive oversight that
is weird, isn't it?
Oh, I'm not even a fan, and it bothers me. But yeah, people are pissed in the Beltway about that.
Let's start at the quarterback position. Taylor Heinicke had zero or one touchdown pass in 11 games
last year.
And he was particularly ineffective after week four. Once defensive coordinators got some good tape on him, he had a pretty nice little run in like weeks one, two, three, four, and then just the wheels came off, and he was a very ineffective quarterback. After week four, he was fantasy quarterback 21, which meant that, you know, most weeks you were by a mile better off not starting him than somebody else. His scrambling, he's got pretty good wheels, but his scrambling was very anemic. He averaged just 17 yards and zero rushing touchdowns after week four. He's going to be a free agent. Ryan Fitzpatrick won't be retained, and Washington is clearly in the market for a new quarterback next year.
Yeah, Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson in play, drafting a rookie, I would think. Yeah, they're going to go one of those.
The problem is going to be Washington might be the least compelling destination for any free agent quarterback who can control his own destiny because of all the turmoil with that team right now.
Well, Wilson's willing to go there. Like, he'll
we don't know that.
Well, that's the word on the street, but yeah, it's not definitive.
I don't know about that. I don't think anybody wants to go to Washington right now. All right, let's talk about Terry McLaurin, who suffered under Heinicke. He slumped all the way to wide receiver 37 after week five. From week five forward,
brutal
wide receiver 37. He scored just two times the rest of the way, and that put him behind guys like Kendrick Bourne and Devonta Smith and Marquez Callaway. Come on, you're Terry McLaurin.
Terry McLaurin.
His stats from last year weren't that different than the year before in total stats, but we all expected him to do far better and really improve on year two into year three. And it just didn't come together without Stewbeard there and Taylor Heinicke throwing him wobblers. And it never really came together. Still, McLaurin's obviously got loads of talent. Mm-hmm. And if the Commanders can
I don't think I'll ever use that.
Find themselves a quarterback, then there's some real upside to be had in McLaurin next year.
Yeah, McLaurin's in that like cursed group of like Andre Johnson and Allen Robinson, still amazing.
Great receivers. No quarterbacking, right? And there's no other good receivers on this team. Dyami Brown was a total washout in his rookie season, just 12 catches. Maybe he sparks next year, but we got nothing from him this year. And they didn't even put him on the Brown. He was on the field. He was inactive many games. Curtis Samuel, injured throughout the entire season, starting in training camp and lasting all year long. It was his first year into his $34 million deal. Oh, he caught just six passes. Six passes for Curtis Samuel.
He was hurt a ton, though.
So, I mean, to me, last pick of your draft, you could throw a dart at him and see what happens.
I've got interest in him in the later rounds. If they upgrade a quarterback if he stays healthy, I think there's a ceiling there.
Yeah, I got to believe there's still some of the talent that we saw in his last year in Carolina. All right, Logan Thomas, tight end, injured all season. Just a reminder, if you forgot, he tore his ACL and MCL in December. So we don't even know if Logan Thomas is going to be ready for week one or what point during the season he would come back and be effective there. Ricky Seals-Jones is a free agent, but they like their rookie from last year, John Bates, who flashed a little bit when Seals-Jones was hurt and Logan Thomas was hurt, and they had to go to Bates, give him more time. He flashed a little something. I think they'll let Seals-Jones walk and assume Bates can fill in and be the backup if it turns out Logan Thomas isn't ready to go.
Yeah, what I liked about Logan Thomas when he was healthy was he was playing literally 100% of the snaps. They just roll with a tight end.
Yes.
The healthy one. So if he can stay healthy, he's another guy who's kind of undervalued right now.
All right, let's go to the running backs. Antonio Gibson, he had a 1,300-yard, 10-touchdown season. When I say 1,300 yards and 10 touchdowns, you're like, hey, that's a pretty good year. Mm-hmm. But why didn't it feel like Antonio Gibson had a better season? It's because he was an erratic performer and unpredictable, and it was very hard to know when you were safe putting him in your lineup and when not to. He succeeded against some very hard-run defenses when some people reasonably would have benched him, and he flopped against some really bad-run defenses, and the pass catching really never developed like we thought it would in the offseason. We had spent much of the offseason talking ourselves into a reduced role for J.D. McKissic.
For a guy who was a wide receiver, basically, in college, too, Antonio Gibson.
We thought it'd come together more. He hit 100 rushing yards just once. Just two times. And one of them was in week 18 when nobody was playing fantasy football. That's Gibson. And four of his 10 touchdowns were scored in December. And at that point, you may not even been in the playoffs. He did have a shin injury, and he played most of the season on that shin injury. And he never really this season looked as dynamic and elusive as he had in 2020, the year before, Brian. So Gibson, I think, I believe he will fall out of the top two rounds in many drafts next year based on what we saw last year.
Yeah, he's going, from what I've seen, it's early, of course, late second, early season going, but he's more of a mid third.
I think that sounds right. J.D. McKissic was a spot starter, and then, you know, he was a spot fantasy starter, not starter for their team. You may not remember, he finished with a concussion in week 12, and that was the end of his season, and you never knew what to do with McKissic. He was just like a dart throw bye week guy. Yeah. And it'll be interesting to see whether or not they decide to retain his services. Let's go over to the
Cowboys.
Let's go to Dallas Cowboys. It looks like we're going to have a little shakeup at the wide receiver position.
Yeah, we will. Wow. I'll get there in a minute. Let me get Dak out of the way. We don't have to dive too deep into Dak. Somewhat of a down year for him statistically, but he was fourth. He had fourth most passing touchdowns with 37, the same amount as Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers. He did underwent shoulder surgery this past offseason, but it was on his non-throwing arm. Should be fine there. Roughly going around QB6 in drafts right now, but still has that quarterback one potential, even if the Cowboys offense undergoes a bit of a makeover, which it likely will. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But let's talk about a guy who will definitely be a Cowboy this year, and that's CeeDee Lamb. Mm-hmm. Even though there were some Arizona rumors swirling a week or two ago, I didn't buy into that either. Down years, though, Lamb, people were expecting a top five, top 10.
I was. Finish. I think I had him ranked right around 10 going into the season.
Yeah, wide receiver 20 in PPR. So he under-exceeded everyone's expectations. Now,
can you under-exceed?
I don't know.
I guess you can.
When I typed that out, I felt like I'm like, am I making this word up? But it makes sense, right?
It does.
But, you know, I think CeeDee Lamb could be this year's version of Cooper Kupp. Now, he's not getting drafted as late as Kupp was getting drafted last year, but he's still falling into the late second, early third round right now. But that's still good value for a guy with overall wide receiver one potential. But here's the key for him to do it. They got to use him in the slot more. He checks all the boxes outside of that. He's got the size, the speed, the talent, a good quarterback, a good offensive line. Lamb only took a third of his snaps from the slot last year. And I'm saying we at least double those snaps from the slot for him this year, because his biggest games came when he saw at least 16 snaps from the slot. Nine catches, 149 yards, two touchdowns against New England, two touchdowns against Atlanta, seven for 104 and a touchdown against Tampa Bay. This is our games where he was seeing significant snaps from the slot.
And that a lot of that tied to when Gallup was healthy or not. Mm-hmm. You know, Gallup's was traditionally more of an outside guy, and they would move Lamb more into the slot when Gallup was on the field, but Gallup missed most of the season or half the season. Yeah. So that was that ended up pushing Lamb outside more. And I'm with you. I just think he's a natural slot receiver.
Yeah, I'd like to see him using the slot a lot more, because, hey, that's where Cooper Kupp plays, right, for the most part. Speaking of Michael Gallup, let's talk about Amari Cooper.
Right. So recent news rumors.
He's basically gone.
It's not even a rumor. It's just fact.
They can't afford
him. They're going to cut him.
They mismanaged the. This all goes to Zeke's contract. That's like ruined everything. Like, but now they're just going to let Cooper walk when they could have at least tried to trade him.
To be clear, they tried to trade him.
Yeah,
there were no takers.
I'm sure they weren't. Their offers or their asking price was way too high.
Remember what they gave up? Was it not two first rounders to get Amari Cooper?
Yeah, it was.
I think it was two first rounders.
Yeah, the Jones is not very good in the front office. So we're going to assume, not even assume, Cooper's gone. But that's going to clear. And Michael Gallup is an unrestricted free agent as well.
So Cedric Wilson.
I think Wilson is going to be there. Gallup, kind of on the fence. The weird thing with Gallup is he blew out his knee late in the season. He waited like a month to have the surgery. He just had the surgery a couple weeks ago. So I don't know if he's going to be ready for the start of the season.
But it wasn't an ACL, was it?
Or was it MCL?
Okay.
ACL is worse, right? But either way, he waited like 6 weeks, which was kind of bizarre. It's like, just get it over with.
Yeah, right. Get the recovery going. Yeah.
But really, I'm most excited about Cedric Wilson, knowing that Cooper is pretty much gone. I don't know if Gallup's going to be ready to start the season. And Wilson looked great when given the opportunity. 45 catches, 602 yards, six touchdowns on just 61 targets.
Yeah, those are great numbers.
100, 120, which is viable or feasible for a wide receiver, too.
If he's starting, yeah.
We're talking 1,000 yards and potentially double-digit touchdowns. So Wilson is a guy going very late right now, and I think he's going to be climbing round by round as we go month by month through the season.
Especially if Gallup's not going to be a factor next year, either not on the team or because of the knee.
And now because of the cap crisis in Dallas, another guy who might not be a Cowboy next year is tight end Dalton Schultz. But I think now that with the Cooper news, I think they retain Dalton Schultz, and hopefully they do, because he thrived in a full-time role in Dallas, was one of three tight ends with at least 800 yards and 8 touchdowns. The other two, Travis Kelce, Mark Andrews. Mm-hmm. Schultz was one of 6 tight ends to top 100 targets, finished third in catches at the position with 78. So he looked great. He's comfortable in that offense. And as for Blake Jarwin, not a concern when it comes to Schultz's playing time. He's the guy now. The Cowboys actually are saying they have concerns about Jarwin. The hip surgery he had, he's the first pro football player to ever have it.
Oh,
they're saying. Good.
Wow.
Only hockey and basketball players have had it. So who knows how he reacts to this hip surgery. So don't be concerned with Blake Jarwin if you're wanting to roll into 2022 with Dalton Schultz as your tight end one. He's another guy I'm liking if you fade the big-name tight ends in your draft.
All right, let's get to the running backs.
It's
going to be frustrating for a lot of people.
We're talking Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard. Will this be the year that Tony Pollard finally usurps Ezekiel Elliott as a lead back?
I'm done thinking that the Cowboys will do the right thing here, because we've been asking for it for 2 years and it hasn't happened.
We all know Zeke is on the decline, but here's a very alarming stat. Elliott had 15 carries of 20 plus yards in 2016 on 344
carries of 20 or more yards in what year?
2016.
So all the way back to 2016, his rookie year.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's 344 carries in that year. But since 2019, he's had 794 carries. He's only had 10 carries of 20 plus yards.
Man.
Less
the explosiveness
carries,
is gone.
Totally gone. On the other hand, Pollard looks explosive as all hell.
Yeah.
Averaged 5.5 yards per carry per Pro Football Focus. He graded better than Elliott as a rusher, receiver, and pass blocker.
Man. And pass blocking was always one of the big catches for him. Yes. For Pollard, he was not a good pass blocker.
The only reason they keep giving Zeke more run is because they're paying him so much. It's all about the money. Mm-hmm. So when Pollard saw 10-plus opportunities last year, that's carries and targets, the Cowboys were 9-1. When his opportunities were in the single digits, Dallas was 1-5.
Wow.
I mean, it's all right there in front of you.
It is. Wow.
To start Tony Pollard. So hopefully they do. That's it for Dallas.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk through the New York Giants with a new head coach. Find out and general manager. And they both have Bills roots. We'll talk through that team in just a moment.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Fantasy Football Weekly. Paul Chargy and Brian Johnson with you. New York Giants' new head coach is Brian Daboll, who teams up with the Bills' former assistant general manager, Joe Schoen, who now runs the Giants as their general manager. First order of business is Daniel Jones. And it sounds like they're going to give Jones yet another in a series of final opportunities to prove himself as an NFL quarterback. But here's why I'm kind of intrigued. What if Brian Daboll just runs him like he ran Josh Allen, Brian? Doesn't that get interesting? Now, Daniel Jones is not nearly as good of a runner, but he's not bad.
No, he's not bad.
He's not a bad runner. What if they give him...
Well, unless he runs like more than 90 yards, yeah, then he falls down.
Right.
Goes boom.
What if they give Daniel Jones 6, 7, 8 design runs a game?
Yeah. I mean, that could be good for fantasy purposes. But you don't have to respect his arm as much as you have to respect Josh Allen's, really. So I don't know. You might see that coming a little more, even though everyone knows Josh Allen's going to be running the ball. But I don't know. I'm still soft on Jones.
Given where you'll take him, he will go undrafted in many leagues. He will go, you know, round 13, 14, 15 as my third quarterback. I'm really interested in Daniel Jones from just that angle. And then if the rushing doesn't materialize, I'm just going to cut him, and I don't care. I'll move on.
We won't spend too much time on this, but I have heard the Giants in the Deshaun Watson conversation, and they could.
Maybe.
Daniel Jones would certainly be part of that trade package, so that would be interesting to see.
All right, let's go over to Kenny Golladay. His absurd $70 million contract just pounding the final nail in Dave Gettleman's career as general manager.
So many nails pounded into Dave.
So many cuts. And he's the guy who set up every one of those nails and pounded them in. I remembered his season with him being hurt all the time. Dude played a lot. He only missed 3 games. Golladay was on the field for 14 games this year. And he was so bad. He did not score in the 14 games. His average game, 2.5 catches for 45 yards.
It's not even an average game in the other sense of the word.
No, it's not. It's for a starting pitiful. Receiver.
No.
He finished his wide receiver, 87.
Tabulating.
The high next number. To Josh Reynolds and DeAndre Carter.
I don't even know what team DeAndre Carter is on. Washington?
Washington. Yeah, okay. Think about that for Kenny. $70 million. So Golladay, obviously, he'll almost certainly be back on the team. They don't have a choice, and they can't even work around the contract right now. He'll be back with the Giants. He'll have to be a dramatically better, more improved version. But I got to believe that there's going to be a ton of wariness since it's been two full seasons removed from him having a meaningful fantasy season.
We could do a draft of bad contracts in the NFC East.
I think Golladay would be your first overall.
I don't know. I think I would take Zeke.
Then there's this guy who'd be in the conversation, Sterling Shepard, who has reportedly been asked to take a pay cut, which tells you plenty about the season that he's coming off of. He's slated to make $12.5 million this year. They can cut him, and his cap impact will be about half if they cut him. I think he will take the. I think he will end up having to renegotiate his deal. He missed half the season. Shepard hasn't played a full season since 2018. He was questionable constantly. Every Sunday, you didn't know if Sterling Shepard was actually going to play or not. And every Sunday morning, you're like, oh, he's in, but I don't trust him.
A lot of times he was out, though, where you almost kind of felt like he would play. Sure, and he's like, he's not playing. No,
exactly. So get this on Sterling Shepard. Week one, 7 catches, 113 yards, and a touchdown.
Oh, yeah. You looked like the steal of your draft at that point.
You're like, oh, game on. After that, his average game, 42 scoreless yards. Sterling Shepard didn't score again and didn't have another 100-yard game the rest of the year. Kadarius Toney's the better talking point out of the wide receivers, but even he was frustrating. He erupted in weeks 4 and 5. And if you combine those 2 weeks together, Brian, 16 catches for 267 yards. He looked slippery, almost unguardable after the catch. And somehow the Giants never went back to him again. In the rest of his games, other than week 4 and 5, he averaged 3 catches for 21 yards, and he never scored a touchdown all season. Kadarius Toney.
Yeah, he did look special, though, when he was playing.
He did.
The ball in his hand.
Now, he suffered a hamstring injury, a thumb injury, a shoulder injury, a quad injury, oblique injury, and an ankle injury, and he got COVID twice.
Yikes.
So, if you take all that away, you figure if he can go through next season healthy, if Daniel Jones and Brian Daboll can stoke up something resembling an NFL passing game, Tony's got some real upside to him. And maybe last season, with all those maladies, the bad play, a coaching staff that was about to get fired, you know, it's going to suppress his draft value. And now if you want to go roll the dice on Kadarius Toney as your wide receiver 4 in the 11th round, you could do it.
You don't like having COVID-prone players. We've had injury-prone, but he's like the most COVID-prone player in NFL history. Yeah, hopefully we won't have any of those in that 2022. Could
be. Evan Ingram's headed to free agency, and he will be gone.
Yeah, he's gone. Yeah,
former first-round pick done. Saquon Barkley's the last guy I want to talk about.
And Kyle Rudolph, they let him go. So they got a wide open, which is intriguing. I'd see who lands there, Daboll did good stuff with Dawson Knox at tight end.
Eventually. Yeah. All right, so let's talk Saquon Barkley.
Of course.
General manager Joe Schoen says he's willing to trade Barkley after an unproductive season last year and a lost season before that. Barkley's slated to make $7.2 million this year because it's that fifth year of your rookie deal where if they lock you in, which Gettleman did it this time last year, he locked in the fifth year on Saquon Barkley. Now they're obligated to pay him $7.2 million, and now the new GM wants out on that. Barkley, needless to say, had a bad season, in part because the offensive line's not good. They ranked 21st in run blocking by Pro Football Focus, but even so, the explosiveness, the elusiveness. Man, I was watching some of the Saquon Barkley highlights while I was at the combine, his combine runs, his rookie year.
Long time
ago.
Dude
was insane. He was so good.
I will say this, blew out his ACL in 2020, in week 2.
Yep.
So historically, they say, running backs, even young running backs, takes 2 years to fully come back. So, and when he got hurt last year, it was like a fluke ankle roll. He stepped on his teammate's foot on a rush.
The high ankle sprain, that he dealt with for a lot of the year.
People are pegging him as injury prone, not COVID prone, but injury prone. So I think that's unfair. So I'm buying low. Barkley's falling.
I'm sure.
Late second, early or mid third round.
It's that high?
Yeah. In best
people are taking him in the second round, Saquon Barkley.
Late second.
Wow. I'm really surprised by that.
But I mean, if he stays healthy and they improve that line, which they can only improve, I think he's still got that. He was RB1 in his rookie season. I think he could still get back there.
Thank you for listening, Fantasy Football Weekly. Next week, free agency is getting here soon, by the way. We're 2 weeks removed from free agency.
I can't wait.
So next week, we'll run through the AFC South, the notable players there. Week after that, free agency's game on. We'll be talking about that. So plenty more to get to. Thank you for continuing to listen, subscribe, rate, and review Fantasy Football Weekly. Talk to you in a week, everybody.
Fantasy Football Weekly is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. All that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.